I can say I know this story well. In fact, I conducted the interview with my own grandmother, who was an exceptional woman all around. Lily Pardo and her three sisters lived on Timiski Street in the center of Thessaloniki, and their father's store was just down the block. When the Germans began deporting tens of thousands of Jews, their father's friend would hide them in his flat for 18 months. Lily Aruch passed away in 2012. This episode is narrated by Gilly Bond in London. My name is Anita Mordehai.
My father's name was Haim Pardo, and he was born in the town of Monastir in 1898. That means he was born in the Ottoman Empire, in what is today North Macedonia, and now they call the town Bitola. When Haim Pardo was 25, he married Eugenie Beraha, whose family came from Skofia. The young couple settled in Thessaloniki, where they had three daughters. I was the oldest and was born in 1929. My father spoke Spanish and was fluent in German, French and Greek. Mother was fluent in French. She had gone to a French school. Father had a commercial shop here in Thessaloniki named Pardiko on 28 Simiski Street. It was an electrical shop, and although he was a businessman, I remember how he loved reading and learning. We had a house full of books. All three of us girls attended a Greek school, and a French tutor came to our house every week to give us lessons. We lived in the centre of town on 35 Timiski Street. It was a mansion-style house with five apartments. Three of the families were Jewish. And in our flat, we had five rooms filled with fine old traditional furniture. All the beds had mosquito netting. There weren't many cars in Thessaloniki back then, and even fewer taxis. People got around in horse carriages, and there was a tram, too. I remember when we were young, we had a lovely square right near the house, and it was lined with cinemas and cafes. The Jewish community of Thessaloniki was enormous. Tens of thousands of Jews lived here then. And most of us were Sephardic, of course. We had old people's homes, orphanages, schools, institutions for poor girls, and a very fine hospital built by Baron Hirsch of France. There were Jewish newspapers in Judeo, Spanish, French and Greek. And then it all came to a horrifying end. The war started on a Monday morning. It was the 28th of October 1940. We were very scared. And we knew the Italians were invading Greece. But our army fought back bravely. And there was a standstill. Until, that is, the Germans invaded Greece. And they marched into Thessaloniki on April the 9th, 1941. For a while, life went on almost normally, although we lived with constant fear. We stayed in our flat because the Germans would often order the whole town to stay inside. Sometimes they would just take someone's apartment. In our flat, they took over one room and put a German officer there. My parents wouldn't even let us out of our rooms. Then a German family took another two rooms, which meant we lived in two rooms we didn't dare leave. We lived like this for an entire year. In the meantime, the Germans were conscripting more and more Jews into forced labour. The situation kept getting worse. The winter of 1941 to 1942 was the winter of hunger, as they used to call it. The Germans confiscated a huge amount of food. It was freezing out and we had no heating. We stopped going to school, although father still went to work. Even though business was terrible, no one was really building or fixing anything, and the Germans simply came in and grabbed merchandise, just like that. In July 1942, an order came out that all Jewish males aged 18 to 45 had to gather up in Eleftheria Square. But my father refused to go. My mother was terrified. I was 13 then, and I wanted to see what was happening. Eleftheria Square is surrounded on three sides with office buildings and the sea on the other. I went upstairs in one of the buildings and wedged my way onto a balcony, crowded with other people. What I saw was horrifying. The entire square was full of Jewish men, without shirts or hats, and the sun was burning hot. They had been lined up in rows. There were thousands and thousands of them. The Germans stood in front of a big bank and they were making rounds and pointing at people. They would shout, "You! You!" and make them do cartwheels and other exercises. And they would just slug them. They forced the men to stay there in the blazing sun all day until late afternoon. No food, no water. Just humiliation and fear. In April 1943, we were forced to wear the Star of David, even the children, and we were moved to the ghetto. There were actually two ghettos in Thessaloniki, one by the train station and one close to the countryside. In the ghetto, each family, regardless of how many members, got one room. We spent about 2 months there, barely surviving. The bad news just kept coming. They started arresting and sending people to the train station ghetto and then putting them on trains and ship them off somewhere. We had no idea where. One day my father received a message from a friend of his, Dr. George Karakotsios. It said, "If you can get out of there, come to me. I will put you up." Dr. Karakotsios and his family lived on the same street as we did, Tsimiski Street. They had a small flat on the third floor. Georgios, his wife, Fedra, their young son, Filon. My father knew what he'd have to do if he wanted to save his wife and three children. But it would mean leaving behind his own mother. And my mother would have to leave her mother and sisters to their fates. I cannot imagine how agonising that must have been. On the 12th of April 1943, I left the ghetto with my two sisters. My parents came the following night, and the very next morning, everyone in our ghetto was taken to the ghetto next to the train station. And from there, they were forced into trains and left. And so began our time in hiding with the Karakotsios family. Eight of us in that small flat. And we did not step outside for the next 18 months. The family shared with us what little bread and food they had, and they shared our fear and frustration, and all of us were horribly frightened. All the time. Just imagine, if you can. 8 people living in a very small flat, and every sound and every knock on the door was terrifying. My father hid in a closet, and my mother stayed under a bed for hours at a time. We would tiptoe around in our socks because we didn't want the people living below to know how many of us were living there. Phaedra would go out shopping for the family, and what we lived on was quite basic. Mother would wash and cook and keep the children busy. Father devoured the books in the doctor's library, and so did I. Time went by so very, very slowly, and we heard about people getting arrested and taken away. That only made us feel worse. But then in October 1944, we peered out of the window and we saw German soldiers getting in trucks and driving away. I went outside to look. When I came back, I told my father, "I don't see any Germans. I think you can go out now." And so we finally went out into the world. When we left our hiding place and the news began filtering in, we were hit with one horror story after another. Our grandmothers, deported and murdered. My aunts and uncles, murdered. A cousin of mine, shot while trying to escape. My father went out and bought 5 plates and 5 forks and a couple of knives. And that is how we started life over, in a small hotel. My father worked with 2 very good partners. They opened an import office in Athens, and that is where we moved. And later we learned that the Karakotsios family was hit by an unspeakable tragedy. Their son Philon became a soldier. One day his mother saw a military jeep come by with a coffin. They said, "We brought your son." Phaedra literally went crazy and threw herself out of the window. Mother and son were buried the same day. Georgios Karakotsios was completely shattered and didn't live much longer. At least their names are inscribed as the righteous among the nations at Yad Vashem in Israel. To have been as brave as they were is unimaginable to most people. To suffer like that, unspeakable. One day in Athens, I ran into Manuel Aruch, an old family friend from Thessaloniki. Like me, Manuel spoke Spanish and Greek, and he was studying to become a doctor. During the war, when Germans came to Athens, Manuel had helped burn Jewish community documents. Then he headed into the mountains. He and I got married in 1952. For many years, Manuel worked for the Jewish community, helping people who came back from the concentration camps or from hiding. And that included me. My own health never recovered. Although I had 2 wonderful daughters. Our children attended the Athens Jewish school, and they took all their students to synagogue every Saturday. They also went to Jewish youth clubs and our Jewish summer camp. For all the years my parents lived after the war, and they both lived into the 1970s, I think they only had Jewish friends. After all, who else could they talk with about the world they'd been born in and grew up in? That world no longer exists. But it came back to life whenever they and their friends would meet. And our Jewish community today? As small as it is, we work hard to keep our Jewish world alive for us, so that we can honour our parents, and for our children.